Go ahead and take out your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 21 through 25 in just a minute. Some of you probably saw this sitting up here on the stage, especially for those of you who are OCD. I understand, I have a daughter who's that way. You were thinking, somebody forgot to put something up. I brought this lamp because it's a really nice lamp, and I really wanted to show it to you. It's normally in my office, and this lamp has all the normal things a lamp has. I mean, it's got a base, and the base has got enough weight to it to keep it from tipping over. It's got this body, this pole here. It's got shade. It's got light bulb. It's got power cord and a switch and all those kinds of things. But there is a unique feature about this lamp that if you look a little more closely, you might see there's something on this cord that's a little different from most lamps, and this is basically a photocell. This cell right here, if I slide this, I can make it where it's off all the time. I can slide it where it's on all the time, or I can slide it where when the lights go out, when it gets dark, it'll automatically come on. So that's a pretty neat feature. One problem, I'd love to show it to you right now, but one problem I'm having right now is it's not plugged in anywhere. So it'd be a little difficult for me to show it to you because it's not plugged in. You see, the thing about this lamp, it's really no good if it's not plugged in. This morning, we're going to look at a segment of God's Word in Mark chapter 4 that makes it clear that we need to be plugged in if we're going to shine for God. God wants us to be light in a darkened world, and that won't happen if we're not intentional about staying close to Him and shining for Him. So let's take a look at what God's Word has to say to us today. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 21, and I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. He also said to them, "Is a lamp brought in and put under a basket or under a bed? Isn't it to be put on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed, and nothing concealed that will not be brought to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him listen." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. By the measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and more will be added to you. For whoever has more will be given to him, for whoever has more will be given to him, and whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him." May the Lord add richly to the reading of His Word. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your love. We thank You for the privilege of being in Your house today, and we thank You that Your Word is not a truth among many truths, but is the truth, absolute truth. God, open our hearts and minds that we might hear from You and apply Your truth today. It's in Your powerful and precious name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to take a look at a few things that Jesus teaches in this text that we just read. So first of all, I want you to see that we are to shine for God. Now, this lamp over here, it's pretty useless right now since it's not plugged in. If it were dark and I needed light, then obviously I'd want to plug it in, turn it on, and use that light. And once I turned it on, I wouldn't go over and throw a blanket over it because that wouldn't make any sense. That would go back to darkness. Back in the first century when this text was written, a lamp in a home was basically a bowl with oil in it and a wick. And they wouldn't take that in the house and hide it somewhere. They would put it on a stand. They would put it on a table. They would put it up somewhere where it would cast light about. Now, we, in our day and era, we don't really appreciate low-light situations until the power goes out. And then when the power goes out, you know, nowadays if you have your cell phone on you, then you just turn the flashlight on your cell phone and you go find something else, maybe a candle or something to put light out so that you have light for a while. But we're so used to having lights. You know, some of you were here last Sunday and we didn't have these lights right above us. And I was up here trying to figure out, man, my eyes are getting bad. I cannot see this. And come to find out, it was a light issue. The truth of the matter is we've grown accustomed to light, and light's an important function in our lives. I fully understand why people, when there was no electricity, why they went to bed at sunset, basically, and why they got up with the sunrise, because there's just not a whole lot you can do without light. I'm old enough to remember there was a time when Wrigley Field, being a baseball fan, when Wrigley Field and the Cubs didn't have lights. was actually in 1988, in August of 1988, they had their first night games. And the reason Wrigley installed lights is because Major League Baseball said, if you don't install lights when you make the playoffs, your home games are going to be in St. Louis. They didn't say Comiskey. They didn't say in the White Sox stadium. They were going to make them go to St. Louis to have their home games. So they put in lights. And when we have lights on, we don't want them to blind us, but we want them to be seen. When we're shining the light of Christ, we don't want to be overbearing in how we share our faith and how we represent him, but we want people to be able to see him. Jesus makes it clear that we're not to hide lights. That would clearly defeat the purpose. You usually try to position a light where it casts enough light so that you can see what you're doing. If you've ever been by one of those road constructions at night, man, those guys have some massive lights. And it's one of those things where, you know, if I come up on one of those at night, I kind of want to put my hand up. But you got to understand, they've got to be able to see what they're doing. It wouldn't make any sense for them to take those lights and then point them up in the air. That wouldn't help them at all. They have to put it where they can see the construction that they're working on. Jesus wants us to be light in a dark world. There's a tremendous amount of darkness around us, and we're living in an era that is the most like the first century since the first century. There are so many lost around us that the need for Christians to stand and give out the light of the gospel is tremendous. You know, I was thinking, even though it was before my times, if you rewind a bit back to the 50s, even for the person who wasn't a Christian, being a Christian was normal. Even for the person who was lost, being a Christian wasn't seen as something that was on the fringe or some fanatic or something of that sort. Fast forward about 60 or 70 years, and all of a sudden we see that's entirely different. We're not living in that culture anymore. Today, Christians are considered extremist and radicals by so much of culture that they want to push us into the shadows. And folks, we can't let that happen. We can't scurry away from the light when we are the only light that many of them will come in contact with. We have to shine the light of Christ through us. When I turned 16, my parents gave me a car. It was a hand-me-down, but it was a car nevertheless. It was 1983, and what I received from my parents was a 1972 yellow Ford LTD with a brown vinyl top. Now, folks, I don't care who you are. It's hard to be cool in a four-door yellow land yacht like that. My friends weren't exactly rushing up to see that beauty, I can assure you. Imagine my joy a year later when my dad got a new car and I got his hand-me-down. It was a 1978 Toyota Corolla. Wasn't fancy, but man, it was better than that land yacht that I had. And I will say this, that thing had a 1.2 liter engine. I'll never forget raising the hood and looking in there and seeing 1199 cc's. I thought, man, that's a motorcycle engine. That thing, I'm telling you, going downhill, Ralph, it would do 65 miles an hour if the wind was at your back. It was not a fast car by any stretch of the imagination, but I was grateful to get rid of that land yacht that I had before that. But in my first senior year of college, you heard me correctly, in my first senior year of college, I squeezed 4 years into five. My parents bought me a 1986 Ford Mustang. Now, before you get too excited, it was a four-cylinder, okay? It was a four-cylinder, and it was a stick. It was a base model Mustang LX. But I can't tell you how excited I was to get that over the two previous vehicles. Now, I was grateful for them. Don't get me wrong. I had transportation. I didn't complain to my parents about them, but when I got that Mustang, that was actually a vehicle I wanted to take and show my friends. But the first night, I'll never forget the first night I had that vehicle. I remember where it was parked in our yard, and I went out in the yard, and I opened up the door, and I went to get in, and it was like it was still dark inside the car. Now, the light was on. I checked, but I was like, dude, this light is putting out no light at all. And after I took the dome cover off the dome light, somebody had replaced the normal clear bulb in that thing with a red bulb. I thought, what drug dealer did I buy this car from? Dude did not want to be seen in his car, nor did he want to see in his car because you could not see. So literally the next day, as soon as I could, I replaced that bulb and that car. Folks, we should not do anything to dim the light of Christ in our lives. We need to let that light shine. And we have to realize that sometimes we're really dimming it because of the way we're living. When we let sin come into our life and we dwell in that sin, we're dimming the light of Christ in us. We've got to stay right with him and ask him to cleanse us so that the lens of our life will be clear so that his light will shine through us. If we have love for Christ and if we really have love for our fellow man, then we should let that light shine. We shouldn't be quiet about our faith. The consequences for the lost around us is too serious for us to hide the light of Christ. Now you stop and think for just a minute. And I'm doing the same thing right now. I'm thinking about at least three people that I know right now that I know are lost, that don't know Christ. And I have to ask myself the question, is it okay with me if they spend their eternity in hell? The answer is no, it's not. I don't want that to happen in their life. But folks, we better be careful. We're not living like it's okay for them to spend their eternity in hell. Because if we're not seeking to be a witness before them, if we're not seeking to show them the love of Christ and the light of Christ, then we're saying in our actions, hey, it's okay with me if you spend your eternity in hell. I don't want it to be that way. I pray that God will soften our hearts and burden us for the lost around us. Let's not turn a blind eye to them, and we need to let our light shine for God. Let him shine through us. So we see that we should shine for God. But secondly, in this text, we see that your light will reveal darkness. One of the reasons that the world wants to keep us quiet and to blend into the woodwork is because our light reveals what's hidden in the darkness. Folks, here we are about 6 weeks into a new year, and already the state of New York has made a decision to say that infants don't matter. I don't know if you know all the details or understand the details of this law, but the law is literally written in such a way that they can have an abortion up to the date of birth. And if they were attempting to abort the child, even if the child is delivered, they can still abort that life out of the womb. Folks, you can call that whatever you want to, but it is infanticide, and it is wrong. It is not of God. And you and I need to take a stand on the word of God and realize that God is the one who begins and ends life. But one of the scary things about this law is that the way they've written it, a doctor doesn't have to perform this procedure. Any medical professional will do. Folks, that is scary. And I don't care what party you identify with, I can't see that this infanticide is anything but immoral. And if you don't see that this is immoral, you need to check yourself. If you call yourself a follower of Christ, then you need to love human life. It needs to be a priority in your life. These people actually applauded when the governor of New York signed it into law. But be sure, God is not mocked, and they will stand in judgment for this act unless they repent. And unless you didn't realize this, there are about 7 states who have a very similar law to this one. If we as Christians don't stand up for human life, who do you think is going to? This is why they want us to be silent. They don't want to be reminded of how immoral their behavior is. It's inside this moral vacuum where they can call perversion normal, where they can call murder a right to choose, where they can call Christians bigots and hate mongers. We must profess the truth of God's word and remind them that God begins and ends life, and God says that every life is valuable, and to devalue any life is sin against God. But folks, within that, we've got to be very careful that we show the love of Christ instead of being mean-spirited in how we deal with things. We have to show them the love and the light of Christ. All of us, regardless of our background, are sinners in need of a Savior. We have to proclaim the truth that Jesus is the only way to forgiveness and eternal life. And they will continue to call us narrow-minded, but we can't let that stop us from telling them the absolute truth of God's word. If you believe this word is true, then why wouldn't you want everyone to know this truth? It still amazes me that so many people think that we human beings ought to have the right to decide what lives are viable and what lives are not. Who should be born and who shouldn't be born? That's not a decision for us as human beings. That's a decision for our Creator. Whether we're talking about abortion or euthanasia, we're crossing the line when we take life for our convenience. Now listen, I understand the arguments. It's the some who say, well, what about in the case of rape? Okay, we're talking about less than 1% of rapes end in a pregnancy. And we're talking about way less than 1% of actual abortions are the result of a rape. So don't give me the below 1% and try to make your whole argument on that. The truth of the matter is, if, and I'm standing here with a daughter who's 23 years old, will be 24 in May, and I'm telling you, if she ever got raped and got pregnant in that rape, it would break my heart that she got raped and got pregnant. But I know that God began that life with a purpose if that happens. And we have to put that in God's hands. So, folks, we need to make sure that we value life the way that God values life. And we need to leave life in His hands and trust it to Him. The truth is, those around us don't want to be confronted with the truth. They don't want to be confronted with the fact that God exists. That's why they don't want to believe that we were created in God's image. You got here by circumstance. Folks, you didn't get here by circumstance. You got here on purpose because God created you. And He has a purpose and a plan for your life. So we need to let that light shine through us so that our light will shine for God, and then realize in that light shining that we're going to reveal the darkness around us. But finally, I want you to see that we need to plug into God. I believe in verses 24 and 25, we're given insight that we need to understand and embrace. First of all, God has given us this gift of forgiveness and eternal life. We receive the good news, and because we now know of God's love for us, we should want to serve Him because we love Him. If I'm grateful for the salvation that I have through Him, then I want to live for Him. I'm not saying that if you really love Him, you'll be perfect. Any of us who have ever been around Christians know that Christians aren't perfect. Huh. I'm surprised I didn't get an amen on that, really. Being honest here, we're not perfect, not at all. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm so grateful for the Word of God that God did not gloss over people's character. If you want to see, Christ came through the lineage of Judah. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning. Go back and read Genesis 38 if you think Judah was perfect. Judah was a messed up dude, but God used him anyway and worked through him anyway. And that ought to be encouragement to us to know that God can still use us in spite of our frailties, in spite of our mistakes, in spite of our dumb decisions. But I think sometimes we hear that God can use us, and we hear that in theory, but we don't put it into practice. In verse 24, Jesus tells us to pay attention to what you hear. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've never heard Jesus speak audibly, except in that movie, you know, I've never heard Jesus speak audibly. So what in the world is He talking about? Well, the fact is, we have the words of Christ. If you have one of the Bibles that actually has the words of Christ in red, you can find them pretty quickly. He has already spoken to us. We need to listen to what He said, how He lived His life, and follow His example. Pay attention to what He says. It's awesome that you're here in God's house today. It's awesome that you set aside this time to be with other believers and to worship Him. But I have to tell you, as my son, one of my son's recent phrases is, that ain't it, Chief. That ain't all there is. We need to spend time in God's Word. We need to spend time alone with Him, listening to Him. It's awesome that you made the effort to be in God's house, but you need to hear Him speak. You've got to be in His Word. You'll never really hear from God if you're not in His Word. And it amazes me and saddens me when people say that they've heard from God and what they've allegedly heard contradicts what God's Word says. I'm just going to tell you clearly here. If you think you've heard from God and it is the opposite of what God's Word says, you haven't heard from God. You might have got a hold of some bad spaghetti last night, but you didn't hear from God. Because God does not contradict Himself. Those who say that the Bible contradicts itself do not know the Bible and have not read it. They've taken one or two things out of context and said, well, these things don't match up. But hello, smart guy, read it. Study it. Then you'll find out that it does not contradict itself. But here's a crazy fact for you, for us as believers. We cannot even pray in God's will if we're not spending time in God's word. I'm messed up. Good news is you are too. You see, we are sinful creatures, and I'm going to be prone toward things that are sinful. I have to be in God's word, studying his word, so that I understand how he even wants me to pray. I need him to show me his ways. I need him to reveal to me his truth so that I'll pray in his will. We have eternal life now because of what Christ did for us on the cross. But my best life isn't going to be in this life. If you're holding on thinking, well, I can have my best life now. Let me just tell you, you listen to a motivational speaker, you haven't listened to the word of God. My best life is coming after this life. I'm grateful that I know, even as I stand here right now, that I have eternal life. Eternal life has begun for me. Now, eternity hasn't begun for me, but eternal life has begun. I know when I leave this earth where I'm going. I've read about it. It sounds pretty awesome. I'm stoked to be going there. But I'm not foolish enough to believe that this world has anything to offer that even compares to that. But I wouldn't know that truth if I hadn't spent time in God's word. I wouldn't know the promises of God if I didn't study his word. You see, one of the things that happens to us in our Christian walk is we get hung up in circumstances and we get wrapped up in our feelings and we forget God's promises. You may feel like God is absent, but the word of God says he's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Word of God says he will never leave you or forsake you. So regardless of what your feelings may be at the moment, God has not forgotten you. And God has a plan and a purpose in what is going on in your life. I want to be just brutally honest with you for a moment. Life stinks sometimes. It stinks sometimes. You know, I'm not a pessimistic person at all. But life can be pretty rotten sometimes. I hate hearing that someone else has cancer. I hate it. It stinks. I hate seeing someone lose a loved one. I hate seeing family or friends struggle financially or emotionally. And I hate the fact that as believers, we still struggle with temptation, and boy, do I ever hate it when I give in. The truth is, sometimes we don't struggle very long because we just give in. But I know that no matter what I face in this life, no matter what circumstances may come, I know, not because of my feelings, but because of the absolute truth of the Word of God, that yet in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. I don't have to worry about what's going on in my life. I don't have to get hung up in it because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The hymn writer did nothing but quote straight from 2 Timothy 1:12. That is God's promise to us. We are not victorious because we're good people. We're not victorious because we muster up enough intestinal fortitude to have victory. We are victorious because of what Christ already accomplished on the cross. And the story doesn't end there. He walked out of the grave and he ascended to heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father now. Listen, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I understand the Trinity, but I know it's real. I know there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And somehow the three are one, and I don't get it, but I know they are. And I know that when I placed my faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit came to live in my life. I didn't run up and down an aisle, and I'm not knocking you if you did at some point. It's okay. But I know the Holy Spirit lives in me. And I know when I do stupid stuff, the Holy Spirit convicts me and reminds me that I belong to Christ. You see, here's the thing. If you can sin and you're okay with it, you're on dangerous ground. Because only one of two things could be true. Either you've hardened your heart so much in your walk with God that the Holy Spirit's speaking, but you're just so hard to it, you're not hearing. Or you don't know him at all. Either way, you need to repent. If you're a believer, you need to repent and ask his forgiveness and ask him to make things right so that you begin to hear again. Just confess that sin for what it is. If you've not placed your faith in Christ, you need to ask his forgiveness for the first time. Say, God, I'm a sinner. Listen, let's just be honest about it. We all know how to sin. We all know how to sin. Nobody had to teach you how to sin. There was never a single time when your bud said, hey, come over here, let me show you how to do wrong. You didn't have to have anybody do that. You know how to do wrong. Now, that's not to say that some of your friends didn't take you off and show you how to do more wrong. But we all know how to sin. We're all born into sin. But praise God, he sent his son so that we wouldn't have to be in bondage to sin any longer. Because of what Christ did, we can be set free. Because of what he did on the cross, we don't have to live in bondage to sin. And because of what Christ did, not only do we know we can have forgiveness, but we know we have eternal life in heaven with him. When we plug into God's word, when we spend time with him, we can let this light shine through us. And I want to make it clear to you, I'm not trying to tell you that if you get plugged into God, everything's going to be easy. Anybody that tells you that knows nothing about what the disciples went through. Knows nothing about what the Apostle Paul went through. Being in the middle of God's will doesn't mean things get easy, but it does mean he is with you. And he will see you through. And he will not ever leave you. Don't waste your time on things that will leave you empty. Make time with God a priority so that you have the power to overcome the world and let your light shine so that all those around you see that light. Listen, I don't know what you're struggling with today. I don't have a clue. I can't read your mind. It's a good thing you can't read mine. But God knows what you're going through. He doesn't miss a thing. There's nothing that he's unaware of. There's nothing that he can't handle. And there's nothing that he won't see you through if you'll be willing to give it to him. But in our stubbornness, a lot of times, we want to do it on our own. You know, so maybe if you had kids or you got grandkids and you want to try to help them with something, but then they're like, I want to do this. Boy, we're so like that as adults with God. I want to do this. But God's saying, okay, you let me know I'm right here. But you're not going to be able to do that until you let me help you. Whatever it is you're trying to carry, God right now is saying, I'm right here. And I can help you with that. I want to help you with that. Let me help you with that. Would you lay that at his feet today? Maybe you're the one I was talking to a minute ago, and you've never placed your faith in Christ. You've never asked his forgiveness. For whatever reason, you've been holding on to stuff, and you're thinking, boy, I got all these things I want to try. Listen, everything you try, I don't care what it is, everything you try will leave you empty. Because there is a God-shaped hole in your life. And the only one that can fill it is God. When you're willing to say, I'm a sinner, God, I need you. Would you please forgive me and come into my life? He will. Now, I'm not going to mislead you. That doesn't mean it's going to become easy. That doesn't mean all your problems are going to go away. But you will have the creator of the universe be alongside you, to carry you when you need carrying, to love on you, and to fill that void in your life. Don't miss placing your faith in him. God may be leading you to become a part of this church. If he's leading you to come and serve him here, then let me know that today. Let us know that. Let us rejoice in that. Whatever God has put upon your heart today, don't miss him. Because you choose to do your own thing when God is the best thing and has the best things for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your love, for your amazing grace. God, I thank you. that as believers, you want us to let your light shine through us. God, we confess we can't do it. God, we don't have light in us on our own, but Lord, we pray that we'd make our hearts right before you by confessing anything that would hinder our walk, that you might shine through us, Lord. We want to see your light shine through us, that you might be glorified. And Lord, for anyone here, God, that doesn't know you, I pray today they'd ask your forgiveness, today they'd invite you into their life. Lord, whatever you want to do in their heart today, God, I pray that have the wisdom to let go and trust you. Those who are carrying burdens today, trying to do things that, frankly, Lord, we're not equipped to do, God, I pray we turn those things over to you and trust it to you. Whatever you want to do in this invitation right now, we ask you to have your way in this place. It's in your precious name we pray these things. Amen.